Greetings, everyone. It is now time for Marked Safe. Tales of your very favorite and most beloved disasters. On Marked Safe, we discuss events and details that some may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Please listen responsibly and stay safe. And now, here with your hosts, Brianne and Melanie, this is Marked Safe.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
It's so funny that we probably could have used that last, 5-10 minutes as an intro.
I was thinking that. Yeah, we've just been chitty-chatting off mic, and you're telling me this crazy story about your little sweet little pixie baby getting stranded in the deep end of the pool, and I'm like, we could be opening with this.
So if anybody ever questions if our friendship is authentic, it truly is, because we get on this thing every week and then we just talk like old timey landline.
And then we're like, oh shit, we should start recording.
It does feel like a landline with the headphones in and the cord and stuff, you know, not like the cell phone where you walk around and do whatever you want.
No, it's not the same vibe. You got to twirl the thing on your finger, which is frustrating because I can't do that because my headphones are corded. But if I twirl it on my finger, it will be so very audible. God, you people have no idea the fidgets I hold in for you.
Well, yeah, so I was telling Brianne, my kids are in swim 5 days a week, and it's a bit chaotic, and Abby got sent to the deep end, where they were about to do laps, and it was a whole big mess, and they blew the whistle for the swimmers to do their laps, and thank God she didn't, go off the wall, because it would not have been good.
She's a brave and smart and clever little baby.
She is.
They're
all babies. They'll always be my babies. That's why I tell them, which is cute because it's funny when I have my 10-year-old snuggled up like she's a newborn. And it's my favorite thing.
I know. My whole family still calls Adelaide the baby. She's 9 and a half.
Well, you want to jump into the old sandwich bracket?
Maybe. I'm the old unprepared co-host, so let's try.
I don't think you've tried this, and it's been on a bracket before.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
And it's my favorite sandwich.
Okay.
This would probably win for me.
Okay, yeah, this is gonna depend, because if these are things that I really legitimately don't know and not sure how I would feel about it, I may, for the first time in bracket history, have to ask for an extension to go try them this week. But if I can pretty easily project what I would pick, fuck it. So let's hear it.
So it's a Reuben versus a muffalata, which is a Louisiana staple.
Oh, babe, I think I've got to try those. Oh my God. Hold on. Let me see if there's a muffalata around here. There used to be, but I feel like that place closed down.
We do muffalatas once a week, Cody and I, when he works from home. He'll go to Rouse's and get a little tray. They're usually cold, but I like to pop mine in the microwave for 25, 30 seconds just to get the cheese all melty.
Okay. Apparently McAllister's has one.
Okay. Let's pause this week because I really want you to try one.
Okay. Yeah, I've been trying to be pretty diligent about this bracket. I mean, it's a sandwich. How hard can it really be to track down? And that saves me figuring out dinner sometimes. Yeah, I think I'm going to have to actually eat a muffalata to answer this. I'm looking at them and it looks like there's a lot of flavors going on in there. And that could go either way. I mean, I would never just eat an olive, but I don't dislike them so much I avoid things with olives in them. If it's meant to be eaten with olives, I would eat it.
Yeah. I don't know. It just adds the perfect saltiness to it, you know?
I mean, I'm intrigued. And I can't believe that I'm going to say this because we've been doing this for 3 or more years now.
Yeah.
But I think this one needs an extension.
All right.
However, if you would like to give me 2 bullshit things to choose from so that people can get their hot take fix, I'm happy to.
Okay, let me see. Lego versus Lincoln Logs.
Ooh, Lego. You can do way more.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
Yeah, way more colors, way more possibilities. Yeah, Lego. Hot take. There you go. You heard it here.
Your bullshit bracket.
I mean, I'll fuck with some Lincoln Logs if I've got some in front of me, but definitely Lego out of the two.
All right, so you ready to jump into this? I'm really excited about this week.
Are you?
Well, kind of. It's a little bit of a love-hate.
Okay.
Recently, I talked about this a couple weeks ago. We went on a little midweek getaway to a cabin in Mississippi. And on the drive back, we drove over the Lake Pontchartrain Causeway. I posted a little picture in Horrible Ghouls. This is the first time I've been on it during the daytime. Like,
I've actually been on it, surprisingly enough.
Yeah.
It is terrifying.
I hate every second of it. See, at night, it's like out of sight, out of mind. Daytime, like, please just sedate me. Because I'm not going to fall asleep on my own.
I've definitely never driven across it, but I have passengered across it several times.
It fucking sucks. My kids, however, they loved it. They thought it was so cool. They were asking so many questions. So, you know, I was on there looking them up. You have to do like the fun facts for the kids. So I thought this week it would be good to dive into the not so fun facts about it, because that's why we're all here anyways.
I am so sorry that these birds are just wilding out.
They are so cute.
I don't have pet birds. Those are wild birds. And the window is shut. There is nothing more I could do. There is no hope of editing all these birds out. They will not listen to me if I ask them nicely, and I cannot put any more barriers between me and the birds than I already have.
It's springtime, you know?
It sure is.
We are living in their environment.
Yeah, and they are reminding us. Yes. So you are welcome for the bird ambiance this week. Okay. Unfun facts. Back to it.
So unfun facts. Listen, there have been no shortages of accidents and incidents on the Lake Pontchartrain Causeway. And I have to tell you, I several times in researching this was like, does this bridge have a fucking PR team? I'm dead serious, because there are some pretty significant events, and I had a hell of a time trying to find source material for them.
That's like, hard.
It's bananas to me. And so this is one of those episodes that I thought I would just kind of cruise right through research. Complete opposite. So like I said, loved it, hated it, but we'll get into it. So first, a very brief history. I don't want to go all into like the old-timey stuff of it, but the idea of bridging Lake Pontchartrain, it dates back to the early 20th century, when the region faced a growing need for an improved connectivity between New Orleans and its surrounding areas. Prior to the causeway's construction, ferries were the primary means of crossing the lake, but they were often unreliable and subject to weather conditions. As growth continued to boom in the 1940s in New Orleans, there was a renewed interest to provide a direct connection across the center of the lake to the North Shore to eliminate the time-consuming drive around it. It's such a long drive. So with that, the Louisiana legislature... Why does that sound weird? Am I saying that wrong? Legislature.
Legislature. Oh, God.
Am I saying that?
See, now the second half of it sounding fucked up.
We're just going to roll with it.
Okay, let's do it.
I mean, I'm sure the people will tell me.
We can leave this in so they know it's not just to you if you want.
Legislate.
What is wrong with me? The second half of this word is like a mystery to my brain.
And it's so funny because I was telling you the other day, like I gave this whole episode synopsis to Cody, and I'm like, I really wish that one day I could fucking just tell y'all a story. Do the research, but not like fucking look at it. Because when I tell Cody, I remember all the stats, all the numbers, how to say words. once we push the buttons to record this thing, my brain just fucking glitches.
Once we push the buttons to record this thing, a grip of frogs enters my throat immediately.
Yes.
A cough that I did not have before appears.
Yes.
Suddenly, I test positive for COVID. It makes no sense. We hit record and everything, like from my mouth to my belly button, is just fucked immediately.
It's weird. It is so weird. But you know what? Hey, isn't this nice? We're just breaking the fourth wall.
Mm-hmm.
We
stay breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah. Legislature.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I think that was it. It's quite your head.
Yeah.
I think you got it that time.
Hopefully it's not in here again. But anyways, those fine people of Louisiana authorized the construction of the causeway under the leadership of Governor Earl K. Long in 1948. Construction began in 1949, led by the New Orleans-based bridge engineer James E. Walter Sr., who envisioned a grand structure that would not only facilitate transportation, but also become an iconic landmark for the region. The construction of the causeway presented numerous challenges, among them being the sheer size and depth of the lake. Engineers had to deal with the lake's fluctuating water levels, soft lakebed soil, and what we're notorious for here, hurricane force winds.
I would not want to be dealing with hurricane force winds on that causeway. It feels like it never ends.
Exactly.
It looks like it never ends. You look at it and it does not, you can't see the end.
You can't. I hate it so much.
It's awful.
It's like, it doesn't even seem real when you're on it. It's like a fucking dream. You're just like, there's nothing around you. You're just on just the slab of concrete surrounded by water.
Yeah, it's a vibe on there.
Yeah. So despite these obstacles, construction progressed steadily. And on August 30th, 1956, the first span of the causeway opened to the public, with New Orleans and Mandeville being linked by road for the first time. That day, more than 600 vehicles crossed the new bridge with celebrations on both shores of Lake Pontchartrain that included fireworks, bands, and a flyover by the Louisiana Air National Guard. We've covered a couple bridge openings, and I tell you what, we sure love a bridge celebration.
We do.
I think it's fucking weird.
Yeah, no, we do. And a ship christening and all that kind of stuff.
Fred Mizell, vice chairman of the GNOEC, which is the Greater New Orleans Expressway Commission, and president of the St. Tammany Parish Police Jury, he called the bridge a, quote, 100-year-old dream.
That's an odd way to put it.
They've just been wanting it for a long time.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It shouldn't be a dream. It's a bridge. That's weird.
It's a 100-year-old nightmare.
It is. Ooh, it is. And I feel like don't put your dreams in things like that, because then maybe people are dreaming a little too hard and they're just going to cut corners. I don't know. I'm jaded from this podcast.
When completed in 1956, the Lake Pontchartrain Causeway was the world's longest bridge. This record was broken by completion of the parallel span in 1969 that stretched a whopping 23.87 miles long.
That's too long.
It's too long.
I wonder what the average length of a bridge in the U.S. is.
Ooh, let's look it up.
I'm looking it up right now. I want that to be a statistic that is out there, but I'm not optimistic. Let's see. Annual increase in bridge span length increased by a factor. Okay, so what is the average? Come on. Okay, this is telling me about longest bridges. I don't want to know about long bridges. I want to know about normal bridges. What is the average length of a bridge? A modern beam bridge is likely to span 200 feet, but a modern arch can span... That's not the spirit of the answer that I want. I wonder if you took every bridge in America and added them all up and then divided them by that number, what would the average bridge length be? And the internet's not going to tell me. Listeners, chime in if you know. Somebody's got to know.
Someone knows.
Somebody out there's got a special interest in bridges and has come up with this data themselves.
They have an Excel sheet.
Mm-hmm.
a really beautiful one that they'll share
Send
with
us. Send it to us. Manifest it. You're manifesting it.
I love a sexy Excel sheet.
I know you do. Almost as much as you love a structural collapse or a good memorial.
What do they say? Freaking the spreadsheets.
Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, my God. Okay, I love you. Continue.
The construction of the parallel span was basically built to eliminate the risk of head-on collisions. And because the first bridge was only two narrow lanes, if there was an accident, it was an absolute nightmare for first responders to get to the scene. And it served another purpose, too. Quote, the addition of the second span doubled the causeway's capacity as a hurricane evacuation route. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, fair enough.
So clearly there's a lot that can and has gone wrong on the causeway. I may in the future come back to do another compilation on this.
That would be cool.
Mm-hmm. This week, I decided to stick with a very specific theme and wasn't able to cover some things that I had hoped to. Like Cody had asked me to cover something that had happened here recently. Mm-hmm. Fuck him. We're not doing that.
Damn.
Not today.
You are always and infallibly right. We've talked about this.
Yeah. So without further ado, we are going to talk about the Lake Pontchartrain Causeway collapses, as in plural.
No, really?
As enough for an entire episode, my friend.
That's happened?
Oh, yes, it's happened.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't know that before I was last on it.
Hmm.
Never this, getting on it again.
It's because, I'm telling you, the bridge has good PR team.
Holy shit. Okay, lay it on me.
I'm here to bring Big Bridge down.
You know, okay, hold up. You know where I'm about to go with this. Can we talk about Big Poop for a moment? So we talked last week about the fucking Charmin Bears and all the bullshit poop commercials, yogurt, toilet paper, diapers, the list goes on. And then today, I never turn the TV on when I'm home alone. Ever. But I was looking for something and researching, and I had it on for a second, and what comes on? A fucking Metamucil commercial, which has... Okay. Sorry. Just hold on. I need to talk to someone about their branding and their catchphrases. If Big Poop needs to monopolize my TV with ads like this, I guess, but do we have to have these nasty, disgusting names? Like the fucking Metamucil. Lighten every day the Metamucil way. Do you mean make yourself lighter because you pooped? Are you kidding me? Is that the double meaning?
Can I tell you, this just popped up.
If you could see my incredulous face right now.
I cannot believe I remembered this. My dad, when I was about 10, I was like Ava's age, bought me this shirt. And it was so soft. It was just a white shirt with red lettering. And I didn't really know what it was until I was older, which...
Oh, it's no. Fun.
I wish I had like a grown-up person like version of this ringer. It said I caused a Malox or was Malox moment.
I gotta Google this now. Damn it! Hold on.
Yeah, Malox. But yeah, I had a shirt that said I caused a Malox moment.
Your dad was Big Poop.
He was Big Poop.
I'm sorry you had to find out like this. But your dad was Big Poop. So
and now maybe I'm in the family business. And this whole time, I've been podcasting.
Poop compilation.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. You unwittingly partnered with me.
No, it was wittingly. You don't know my end game yet.
Oh, shit. Get it?
You're not at the top. Don't forget. So I would like Big Poop to hear my cry here and at least come up with less gross catchphrases. Like, I am not okay with this lightening the day with Malox or whatever it was, my Lanta double meaning. I'm not okay with it. I'm not okay with we all go, might as well enjoy the go. Shut the fuck up. It's not okay. It's gross. Whoever, I feel like it's the same person that came up with both of those for sure. Somebody who is celebrating pooping way too much. I'm not okay with it. I don't receive it. And let's get back to your story.
Okay.
Okay. You're talking about Big Bridge and I just got so mad.
The first two collapses occurred while the causeway was still under construction, Brian. It's not a good start.
That's
if you ask
not
me.
A good sign.
The first was in 1955. There was a heavy fog in the area when an independent barge operator fell asleep at the worst possible time. His barge crashed into the bridge, causing two 55-foot sections of the causeway to collapse into the lake.
Ooh, man, you got to be tired to fall asleep driving a barge.
Mm-hmm. The only information that I could find on this event was a brief mention of it in a newspaper clipping I found on the second collapse. So from what I can tell with the first one, there were no injuries. But again, I struggle to find any primary sources referencing it. Mm-hmm. And it's not for lack of trying. Like, I wish I could get that time back. Like, there's things I need to do. The Lake Pontchartrain Causeway suffered its second accident at 4 a.m. on February 29th. Again, a tug operator fucking fell asleep.
Dude.
And the 800-ton Louisiana Bridge Company barge he was pushing ran between the bridge piles. And again, two more slabs crashed into the lake.
You think they're serving up sleepy time tea on that barge?
I don't know what they're doing.
Little sleepy time bears driving the barge. That's what I'm thinking. You know what? Actually, somebody in Horrible Goals said that it seems like I have a problem with all animated bears. I have no beef with the sleepy time bear.
Winnie the Pooh?
And not a fan.
Because it's Big Pooh?
Get the fuck out of here. Yes, because it's Big Pooh. I mean, what's happening with his pants? Like, do you need clothes or do you not need clothes, dude?
Sometimes he's just...
You can cover your nipples, but not your wiener? That doesn't make any sense. Not fine with that.
It's easy access for his little, what is it, Charmin toilet paper.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. I thought you were going to be gross, but you were gross in the other way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, you never know with you. Okay.
Project director J.E. Walter said, quote, the impact of the barge driven by the tug at approximately 8 or 10 knots per hour and pushed by a prevailing northeast wind would have knocked out any structure or bridge. So it would have done it. It's still not a good look. No. We've had this happen twice in such a short period of time.
No, it's a pretty bad look, especially for the same damn reason.
His next quote is something he says, it wouldn't happen one in a million years, but it has happened to us twice in 6 months.
Well, so apparently it would happen one in a million years. It would. I think you got some numbers wrong there.
Important to note that during the design of the causeway, solid square or circular concrete piles were standard when building these bridges. But engineers created like these stronger hollow piles that were being used for the construction of the causeway. So just think a straw.
Okay.
Like a cement straw. But they tested it and they're supposed to hold even more weight. They still use these, by the way. Like this bridge is, I don't know. I'm not a science person. If they say it's strong, I guess I'm supposed to trust them, but it just, I don't know.
Hmm. All right. I mean, it's hard to trust when the thing keeps falling down.
Yeah. So now you have two collapses in 6 months while using new innovative materials. And immediately there's speculation, especially on my part, I don't know, if maybe they're not as good as they were claimed to be. Now, mind you, they're crashing into them. The piles are not the ones that's breaking. It's the actual slab that goes across.
Okay.
So doing damage control, Walters assured the press that the piles didn't contribute to the collapse. Repair to the collapse portion of the bridge started immediately. And he said that it wouldn't cause a delay in the construction of the causeway, but, quote, will be sandwiched in with the work already being done. So he's like the OG sandwich daddy. We're just moving it right along. We're going to jump a couple years later to January 28th, 1960. Bridges completed. Bradley Coleman was a truck driver for Winn-Dixie. And listen, I spent a lot of time trying to figure out which grocery chain he was driving for. I was really happy it was Winn-Dixie. Oh,
people have no idea the time that we will spend on a throwaway two-word detail that doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But I have lost hours of my life.
So he's a truck driver for Winn-Dixie. When he was crossing the causeway with a full load of 25,000 pounds of groceries. On that day, heavy fog descended on Lake Pontchartrain, and once again, a barge on their way to pick up a load of oyster shells smashed into the causeway. Bradley knew something was wrong when he felt the span of the bridge sinking below his 36-foot-long trailer.
Yeah, and you would. That would definitely tip you off. Holy shit.
I can't imagine that, like, that drop in your stomach. Like, how does that feel? That's got to feel so fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being a truck driver.
I mean, yeah. Oh, God.
Ooh. Being a truck driver is historically, like, one of the most dangerous jobs anyways. And now we're just going to, you know, throw in a bridge collapse beneath you. Like,
perfectly fine.
Bradley said, I thought, oh, Lord, it's time to move. I gave the old tractor the juice.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Okay. I am obsessed with Bradley.
I gave the old tractor the juice. You gotta sometimes.
He gave it the juice. So in what sounds like an action movie scene, the speed kept the truck rushing up the sinking slab, its front wheels gripping the neck section, which also began to collapse. Oh. Bradley, it's like you get past one, you get onto another one, and now that's fucking breaking. Bradley said, it got off the slab that was falling beneath me, but the tractor went all the way down to the water. But then I was going so fast, I was jumping those falling slabs. So he's in this big fucking semi just like bouncing over these like falling bridge pieces. I think it's...
Oh my God.
Bananas. Finally, he was able to pull the load past a third part of the bridge to safety. Two of the roadway sections were knocked out, and miraculously, Bradley made it to the other side, but his truck was in bad shape. Calm despite the near-death experience, Bradley used a canvas apron to beat out flames on his truck, which had caught fire during his escape.
How is this not a movie, and how many times are you going to make me say that?
Right?
Oh, holy God.
Once the flames were extinguished, he noticed another motorist headed for the center of the bridge. He flagged them down, stopping them from, which is most certainly certain death. Like, he saved their lives for sure. Crewmen on the tug Clara Bell, which was pushing the barge, radioed to the shore points to block the bridge approaches. And by the grace of God, there were no injuries in this collapse. After the incident, Bradley, who described himself as non-church affiliated, but Baptist inclined.
I love him.
Everybody said they didn't see how I got across. I know how I got across. The good Lord was with me.
Oh, he's so cute.
I love that. Baptist inclined.
Mm-hmm. But not religious affiliated. Don't get it twisted.
Don't get it twisted. Again, repairs to the bridge were immediate. An official told the press they estimated it would only take about 10 days to fix the collapsed slabs.
I feel like it should take longer than that. Mm-hmm. I feel like I would like it to take longer than that.
Yeah. What's even crazier? What do you think about this? They were able to complete these repairs so fast because, according to the official, quote, bridge sections have been kept on hand for such accidents. Excuse me?
This is like a. What do you mean by that?
We made some extras. It's like an extra bag of Lego bricks in case you lose one.
I guess we want disaster preparedness in as many ways as possible, but shit.
Just kept on hand for such accidents. What a quote.
Like in your junk drawer?
Can you imagine just a junk drawer with
little huge bridge parts?
Where's our bridge slabs? Right next to the used batteries. and that phone charger from the Nokia that we don't even have
anymore. Of course, and the random safety pins and rubber bands.
Yeah.
And toothpicks coming out of their box.
Yeah. What's in your junk drawer?
Bridge slabs.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay.
1964 was a particularly rough time for Lake Pontchartrain. Just a couple miles from the cod. Nope. Just a mile.
Somewhere.
It's glitching. It's glitching.
Somewhere in that vicinity.
Yeah, just a little. Just a couple miles, y'all. Just
over there miles. Somewhere. You not too far.
My brain is in that junk drawer, too. I need to find it.
No, you don't. I like it like this. This is fun.
So just a couple miles from the causeway, Eastern Airlines Flight 304 crashed into the lake, killing all 51 passengers and 7 crew aboard.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know that.
No, I didn't see that coming.
I guess
Pontchartrain didn't either, but damn.
Yeah, I may cover this at a later time, but I felt like it needed mention because I can't imagine the shock of this. And then less than 6 months later, on June 16th, we have another bridge collapse, y'all.
I am never getting on that thing again. Just know that.
Yeah. One headline I found at the end of 1964, it was kind of like a New Orleans recap. It really sums it up. It says, and I really like this headline, it says, man, nature seem to engage in cruel competition. Precedent-setting disasters hit state.
Ooh.
A cruel competition.
They're so colorful.
Mm-hmm.
Old-timey articles.
Yeah. So there was a lot going on. On June 16th, it was 1:30 in the morning, and unlike the other incidents, visibility was clear and the lake was, quote, mere calm. So it's a beautiful, beautiful day to push some barges. Pushed by the tug Rebel Jr., which... it's one hell of a name. Two barges smashed into the causeway near the Cloverleaf turnaround, this time tearing out 4 entire sections of the bridge. The 2-man crew had been working 16 hours a day for an extended period of time. So once again, it would appear that fatigue played a major role in the accident. I could never find an official thing, but a lot of it alluded that these 2 men fell asleep again.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. When the barge
is sleepy over there.
It is sleepy. When the barges hit the causeway, a Trailways bus with a driver carrying 7 passengers was heading north for Jackson, Mississippi. It's unclear the sequence of events. State Police Sergeant Frank Petit said, quote, if it wasn't on the section, it arrived just as the barges hit. I know it had to be split-second timing. So they either got hit by the barges or immediately fell through the hole. Like they're not for sure what happened.
Wow.
The Trailways bus, along with the slabs of the bridge, crashed into the lake waters. 19-year-old Jackie Church reached the gap shortly after the bus fell in. He said, "I ran to the edge and the guys on the barges yelled that the bus had gone into the water and they couldn't swim," which that's crazy to me. I feel like if you're working on boats, like you should know how to swim, period.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that should be standard. Yeah.
He continues on saying, "I could see people floating. I hollered to the towboat, 'Throw me two life preservers.' Then I jumped in. I had spotted one man floating about 20 feet from the gap. Another was hanging on to a piece of wreckage. I swam to the man out in the water." So he's like, this guy's hanging on. Let's get to the guy in the water first. And I'm going to pause for a moment. I know that after some time, we become a little desensitized. With that said, Jackie Boy's interview is sending me straight to hell.
Because, I was wondering if you were going to include it.
Because I am not lying. I was drinking coffee. I spit out my coffee laughing, reading his account. The man that he is talking about, though, ultimately didn't survive. So I did send this to Brianne. I don't know if I'm comfortable repeating it, but I'm going straight to hell. You're going with me, Brianne.
So you're not going to read it in its entirety?
Should I?
I don't know. Do you want me to summarize it so we can at least understand the point here?
It's just... It's
the phrasing. It's not what happened. It's the way they put it.
The way they put it is terrible. It is on
We're par. Not laughing at somebody's death. We are laughing at the phrasing of old-timey reporting.
I sent it straight away to you because I was like, never in my research have I...
I was so unprepared.
I hate being so vague. I mean, it's hard because, like, he passed away. It would be so much easier if he survived.
It was...
I would feel a lot less conflicted.
Okay, how about this? Can I make it better by saying that it particularly got me because somebody's bald-headedness plays a critical role, and I have a bald-headed ex that I'm not on the best terms with, and it took me straight there. It was not even about this guy. Just read it. You have to.
Yeah, I think I have to.
As much as we've said about it at this point, you have to.
Listen, I'm going to get canceled someday. Might as well go now. It's all your fault, Jackie. Why did you say this?
The event isn't funny. And they could have phrased this in like 700 different ways and none of them would be funny. It's just the one they did.
Okay, guys. I just know I'm going to laugh. Okay. Quote, "He was floating on his back, hollering, 'Help, help.'"
That's not funny. To be clear, we both know that part's not funny.
"I tried to grab for his hair, but he was bald-headed and I couldn't save him."
if they just said bald, it wouldn't be as bad. He was bald-headed. We couldn't save him. Oh my God. It's not funny, but the guy's death, not on any level funny, but he was bald-headed. We couldn't save him. So, well, you know, what can you do? He's bald-headed, dude. Oh my God.
I have so many questions. Like, you try to grab for his hair, like.
Did he not have like a shirt or something? I mean, I'm going to shut the fuck up because I'm sure there were many complicated things, but.
All right, we're going to hell. Straight to hell.
I'll be there with you, though.
Okay.
Do you want to keep recording when we're there?
I mean, might as well.
I mean, we'll just, all over the place.
We'll go balls out and just, we'll mention it all. We'll mention it all.
Yes. This is actually balls in, guys. You don't know that, but it is.
All right. Jesus. Where do I go from here?
Where do you go from there? Where can you go from there?
Jackie managed to save the man on the wreckage, who was actually the bus driver. So he saved a couple people before first responders arrived. A Coast Guard helicopter airlifted two survivors, the bus driver and a single passenger, to the hospital. Sadly, though, there were no other survivors. Skin divers dove in to help recover bodies, and I cannot imagine the toll it takes. Mm-mm. Doing that fucking job.
Yeah.
Underwater body recovery is...
That's hardcore.
It's hardcore. It's fascinating. I just...
The combination of how physically demanding it is and how rarely anything good would happen and the things you would see, all of it, just oof.
And it's like, there's so much nuance to it too. Like, I kind of like started digging around with that too, because sometimes they're crime scenes. So they're having to do this and are essentially a witness because they're the only one down there. So mm-hmm. they have to like... investigate that scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's just bananas to me. I don't know. Yeah. Once again, a common theme in all these collapses, chairman of the GNOEC, John Lambert, said the causeway would be reopened to traffic in 10 days, weather permitting, of course, because we have a junk drawer, you know?
Oh, my God.
It's a good idea they have a junk drawer. Clearly, because a month later, the Red Pole, a tug operating out of Morgan City, crashed into the causeway, ripping out another two sections of the bridge.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Just a month later. No biggie.
And what year was this again?
This one was in 1964.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Plane crash and two collapses.
That's a lot for a bridge.
It is. It is a lot. Do you want to know what happened?
Of course I do.
The captain fell asleep.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Melanie. What the fuck?
Sleepy time. The lack of water traffic regulation is insanity to me at this point. And people, rightly so, were starting to get pissed because there's literally no preventative measures being taken to like avoid this. They're just rebuilding.
Isn't that kind of the I haven't followed it as closely as you probably have, but wasn't that at least at one point the plan for the bridge that just recently collapsed? They were just gonna hop right back on replacing it super fucking fast.
Yeah That's great.
I mean, I'm sure if a bridge is non-functional, it's a problem. Like, you do need that bridge, but, oh.
I don't know. I'm not Bob the Bridge Builder. I don't know what could, what it takes. Sure? Yeah, so bills were written, but the hearings for them were canceled, and diesel-powered ship owners were overjoyed that the Coast Guard would not regulate their nap times. So again, nothing's being done.
Oh my God. Why are they all so sleepy? That is weird.
I mean, just think, like, have you been out on open waters? Like, it is calming.
You don't have to explain to me what could make a person fall asleep on the open water. However, I would like someone to explain to me why people keep falling asleep in the same place when you don't really hear about that from captains of things very often. That's not usually the problem, but it's always the problem right here. Why? It's sleepy time tea in the lake, I'm telling you.
It's like the Bermuda Triangle of Link Podge Train. It's nuts, right?
Yes.
What if there is, like, some sort of cryptid type?
That's where I'm going with this, actually.
Like a sleepy time siren.
Maybe the sleepy time bear is a cryptid. There's lake snakes. Maybe it's a lake bear. Maybe the sleepy time bear from the freaking celestial tea containers actually lives in Lake Pontchartrain. It's all adding up here.
Okay, let's start this rumor.
I think we just did.
I love it.
Please, with the episode art, please. I'm begging you somehow.
You got it, babe. So let's jump to 1974. Another collapse takes the lives of three commuters on the causeway. Captain Roland Duet was piloting the tugboat Miss Andy, and Miss Andy was pushing four barges this time. He said he had, quote, fallen asleep or blacked out at the wheel about a mile from the causeway.
He doesn't know which. He was hitting more than the sleepy time tea.
Sleepy time bear cryptid is mixing it up.
Sleepy time flask. Sleepy time NyQuil.
Four empty barges rammed into the bridge, ripping out almost 260 feet of roadway. 36-year-old Tazeel Madison was driving her car northbound and was hit directly at the collision point.
Ooh.
Moments later, 41-year-old Edgar E. Dillon, driving a pickup with his 19-year-old brother Wallace Dillon as a passenger, he could not stop in time and was catapulted into the waters below.
Oh, my God.
Tazeel and Edgar were found and recovered during the day of the accident, while Wallace's body wasn't found until the following day. He was crushed underneath the debris of the bridge. Mm-hmm. This is a little bit of something. Finally, Captain Roland Duet was arrested and booked with three counts of negligent homicide and one count of reckless operation of a motor vessel. He was sentenced to a 5-year jail sentence. I don't know why I put sentence twice, but you got it.
Mm-hmm, I got it. I got sentenced.
He deserves twice. It twice.
Yes, he does.
But ultimately, they suspended his sentence, and he was fined $500 plus court costs. That's about $3,000 in today's money, and entirely not enough, if you ask me.
Yeah.
No. It's just crazy. It doesn't appear that there have been any collapses since the 1974 incident.
Means they're due for one.
They're due for one, or, you know, bridge PR got me again.
I mean, I will say that it all kind of happened at once, and that does kind of make me think that the sleepy time bear was just running rampant for a minute, and maybe he's calmed down.
He's asleep.
He's hibernating. Oh my God.
He's hibernating. No, Brianna.
Watch out. The sleepy time bridge bear is in hibernation. Just that like the cicadas, he will come out screaming.
Sleepy time bear lore. He hibernates?
Fuck, this has to tie in with Mothman somehow.
It has to. I did find a couple incidents where like fishing boats and stuff, like, I've hit the causeway, but like no collapse. Like, I still think there's boats like ramrod in that thing. But yeah. I don't know. There have been a number of vehicles that have gone off over the sides. I am interested in covering that in the future. But until then, I really hope everyone enjoyed this deep dive.
Deep dive. You really went there.
Oh, fuck. I didn't mean to.
I enjoyed this deep plunge that we just took.
Deep plunge. If you've been on the causeway, like, tell us in the group. Like, I want to know what you think about it.
I mean, I've been on it. It's scary. That's what I think about it.
I mean, it continues to hold the Guinness Book World Records for the longest bridge.
Yeah, because he's hibernating.
Sorry. It's Guinness World Record for longest continuous bridge. There's one in China that holds the right record, and there was like kind of some beef between the two bridges.
Oh,
because
bridge beef.
Yeah, bridge beef. Because they're like, yeah, there's some breaks between the one in China with like buildings and stuff like that.
Oh,
this is like. So they separated. They both hold a world record, one for, I think the terminology was aggregate or something like that for the China one, and then continuous for Lake Pontchartrain.
Wow. So, yeah.
But there you have it.
I don't want it.
You have to have it. Take it.
You're not the top, Melanie. Again, how many times do I have to tell you today? Wow. Well, mm-hmm. That was amazing.
Yeah.
I never want to be there again. I don't know. I kind of do because I've never driven on it. Now I kind of want to.
If I go over it again, I think I'm going to record it.
Will there be a reason for me to be on that if I come see you in the summer?
Possibly.
Possibly.
We could go on a little road trip together.
Bet. I should fly, but I really want to drive.
You know, if we're gonna go out, I mean, let's do this together. I mean, really wrap up this podcast.
In the Lake Pontchartrain.
Thelma and Louise it.
I just feel like if we're gonna die together, we could do it a little bit more halfway between our locations, you know? Like, do I have to drive all the way to Louisiana just to die with you?
Am I not worth it?
Is there not like a halfway point? I mean, you are, but is there not a halfway point? Am I not worth it, Melanie?
What's halfway? Is there anything interesting?
Fun places to die between here and you.
Let's put that in a spreadsheet.
Oh, Google would be so concerned.
Yeah, they would.
Oh, okay, let's see. I'm looking at a map. Man, you were down there by the toe almost. Wow, no, not almost. You're down there in the toe. Like Memphis-ish would be halfway.
I love
Jackson,
Memphis.
Jackson, Tennessee. Nashville's not too far. Yeah, Tennessee is basically the halfway place. Yeah. So where to die in Tennessee? Somebody let us know.
Yeah. That sounds like a cool book title, Where to Die in Tennessee.
It does. Let's maybe not write it. I don't know. Maybe we will. We'll see.
We'll see. Some girls can dream.
Some girls can dream.
All right. Should we get into some disaster relief?
Let's do it. I will go first because you've been talking about unfun facts for an hour.
Yes.
I don't care if I am contributing to further oversaturation of Taylor Swift. Fucking Tortured Poets Department. Are you kidding me?
Yes, we have this.
What
same...
else is there to do this week?
There's nothing. Not one thing.
No. I mean, it's... I love it. Okay, so you're doing the same thing?
Yeah.
Okay, let's just talk about it. We don't need to take turns.
Yeah, no.
I don't think it's perfect as an album. Like, I have things about it that I don't love, but it's got some fucking good songs. And I don't care that half the world is so mad about Taylor Swift right now. I don't care. I don't give a Kentucky Fried fuck, to be honest. Because I feel like between the, oversaturation of Taylor Swift and the Barbie movie, women have gotten to take up space this year, and I won't apologize for it anymore.
It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
We have gotten our interests and cultural references and fears represented this year, and I am here for it. And Down Bad, and Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? And, okay, The Alchemy, I've got a lot of feelings about Travis, but, okay, tell me your thoughts.
I thought it was honest. I thought it was raw. I do think it, now that I've sat on it, you know, for a while and listened to it, Ava's my little Swiftie here in the house. Aria, too. Aria likes a lot of the darker stuff, so she has been enjoying this as well.
Allie's a fan of the Reputation era, I think.
Yeah, so
huge Swiftie, but I think that's her favorite.
We do. So we've listened to it a couple times. I think it's just as much a call out to her fans as it is her exes.
It kind of is.
Which, you know, it just makes you think how you consume things and Paris social relationships.
Yep. I screenshot you that thing about all the pieces of me shattered as the crowd is chanting more. And I said that was the whole thesis of the Heart Family episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was beautifully done. I have to say it's the more I listen to it, the more it's quickly becoming my favorite. And I will die if she does a collab with Stevie Nicks. Like, I can't fucking...
Oh, that would be something.
...handle it. We got the album in, and I do feel like such a proud mom that my kids know who Stevie Nicks is. Like, we have, you know, all the Fleetwood Mac records and all this stuff. And so we jam. And so Ava knew immediately. But the two dates on it, like, she has written on, I think it was like August something. And then there's just another random date right on the fucking top saying September 13th. Like, what is that? Why are there two dates on there?
I want to know.
I like the scavenger hunt.
I like Easter eggs. I like callbacks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love all that. I do feel like I would say that I think that some of the songs in the album sound too similar for my preference. That's my fucking preference. I'm one person, I can fuck off. But I do feel like a lot of the music sounds really similar on a lot of them. That's my biggest complaint with the album, but I don't think I've worn a single individual album out this much since I was probably 12.
I think that was intentional, though.
It probably was. I mean, I think everything she does is intentional.
Yeah.
I think that for me, I would have liked a little bit more of sound diversity. Just like some that were faster, slower, just sounded a little different.
Right.
But I mean, personally, I would give the whole thing like a 8.5 out of 10, which is really fucking good. And I don't, like, honestly, I think I was a teenager the last time I was like, let me just put this album on and just listen to the songs within it. Like, this is the streaming age. That's not how I consume music anymore.
Right.
You know, I'll listen to it or just skim it for songs that look like they would interest me when somebody drops something new, and just kind of pick things up through cultural osmosis and throw it in my my big playlist to put on shuffle. I don't just put an album on and listen to that. Last time I remember doing that, I was literally a teenager.
Lover or hater, that girl works fucking hard. I don't know when she had the time to pull this shit off.
Yeah, no, she does. So that, yeah, I have a lot more to unpack within this album, because when I first started listening to it, there were like 3 or 4 songs that I really liked and a bunch of others I was like, yeah, that's fine. And then a couple that I didn't really care for. Man, right after, like a couple days after it dropped, I drove up to South Bend to visit my son's grave for the first time since he was buried, actually. I couldn't do it. I wasn't ready. Nature of the game. Grief blender. But I drove up there. Hey, I guess we're going to have a little grief blender sidebar here in disaster relief.
That's okay.
I drove up there and I was really, really thinking very heavily about the theater season after he died and was born. Because my daughter did theater. I had 2 kids in theater at the time because I had a foster son who was older. I had 2 kids in theater, and like that season, theater's intense. Like, it's one of those very, 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 very time intensive kids activities or sports that you can do. So, you know, we had to constantly run lines with the kids and get them to their tech week and their theater and all their rehearsals. And then there were like 3 different performances and all the family came in from out of town. It was a huge culmination. My due date was supposed to be the same week as the production. So they were like really linked in my head. And then, you know, obviously what happened happened. And that theater season just about killed me.
Yeah.
Because the advancement of the season was very linked in my head to what should have been the advancement and birth of the baby. And I could not handle it. Tried to use the resources around me to get a little help with that, but didn't work out. Pan out. Yeah, it was rough. It was really rough. And when I think about theater, I think about that. And when I think about that, I think about theater. And, you know, having to hop right back up from that and parent some kids. Man, that part about lights, camera, action, smile, or whatever it is, that did something to me with the memory of that theater season. And I drove up to South Bend, which was like a 2.5-3 hour drive, right after that dropped, and I don't know how many times I listened to that song.
Yeah.
And processed some shit that I had never really processed before, hadn't been ready, but I was then. And that song, whew. Mm-hmm. You ever like wear one song out in such a specific moment of your life so much that like 10 years from now you will think about that same drive when you hear that song?
Yes, absolutely.
It's going to be one of those.
It's a part of the memory.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, I kind of want to mention that because, you know, we always shout out the grief blender, but I also kind of want to mention that because I was reading a critique of the album, and this particular one, or maybe it was like a New York Times or Rolling Stones album review or something. I don't remember what it was. But it said something about Who's Afraid of Little Old Me being like an overdramatic breakup song. And I don't actually appreciate that because maybe it is based on that situation in Taylor Swift's life, but you don't know what that song is going to mean to other people. You don't know right. what situation that's going to represent for them. Like that song in particular hits some nerves for me that have nothing to do with an overdramatic breakup at all.
I mean, Taylor herself said this belongs to you now.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of power in that song. And I do really feel like as much as we've had this like year of feminine representation in media, which is beautiful, you still have bullshit like this where things are so dismissed mm-hmm. as being just like feminine, you know, stupid girl breakup drama, not important. And I'm like, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
Not at all. So I've been talking a lot. Do you have anything else you want to say about it?
Yes. Thank you for being so vulnerable. I love when you share. I know it's hard, but it's thank you.
It is, because I just don't ever know if there's someone on the other side of it going, ooh, why'd you say all that?
No, I think a lot of people get it.
Yeah,
can they seem to understand it, connect with it, you know. I think, you know, I think it's beautiful.
We need each other.
I love you.
Us specifically and people in general. I love you too. And now my kid needs me to pick her up from school. So I better be going.
Well, until next time,
sweet dreams or no dreams.
Hey, Horrible Ghouls. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you would like to share your personal MarkSafe moment, you can send it to us at MarkSafePodcast@gmail.com. Please give our podcast a rate, review, and subscribe, and tell your buddies about us too. That goes a long way. If you want to further elevate your support, check out our MarkSafe Patreon page, where we have shoutouts, goodies, and some bonus content in the works. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks again, and as always, stay safe.